We're going to get back this morning on double-mindedness, and I'll just kind of refresh your memory on some of the things that we've talked about on double-mindedness. I think this is five. Okay. I'm going to read three passages of Scripture this morning. If you want to find them, the first two are found in James. They're where our text is. James chapter 1 and James chapter 4. And then the next one I'm going to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You want to find those, you can. The first one is James chapter 1, verse 5, which says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Verse 8, "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." There's two places in the Bible, and only two, where this word double-minded is used, or this statement. And that's, both of these are in James. James is the only person that's used, author of his book, that used this term, a double-minded man. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Everybody say resist. Everybody say submit. First thing we have to do is submit ourselves to God, and then we can resist the devil. Amen? And then he will flee from us. But if we don't submit to God first, then the devil's not going to flee from us. And we need the devil to flee from. How many of you need the devil to flee from you? Amen? Keep him away from us. Amen? Verse 8, "Draw near to God." So that word, therefore, submit to God, the same thing as draw near to God. When we start drawing near to God, we may not be as near as we'd like to be or as we want to be, but he will draw near to us. So as we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Amen. How many of you enjoy the presence of the Lord in your life, and you would like to enjoy it more? Amen. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So James is talking here to Christian people, those who are believers. Verse 9, he says for us, if we've slipped away from the Lord and we've kind of, his fellowship is not where we ought to be with him in fellowship, and we're out of step or out of walk with him because we've gotten into the flesh, and I'm going to explain that to you what that means here in a minute. He tells us to lament and mourn and weep. "Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." So it has to be important to us to be able to walk and conduct ourselves in the Spirit of God and enjoy his presence and his fullness. Amen. Verse 10 says, James 4, verse 10, "Humble yourselves." We have to humble ourselves. Quit trying to work out our own problems, our own cares, our own situations. That doesn't mean that we don't plan or look forward and pray about it, but we're concerned about it. But we humble ourselves, which means we don't try to do it. We let him show us what we need to do and let him take care of it. Amen? And then whenever we move in his ability, because we've humbled ourselves, then he will lift us up. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I need to be lifted up every day before the Lord and in his presence. And I just came to mind, so I feel like I need to say this. How do we know when we're filled with the Spirit or we're walking in the Spirit? Because sometimes we can be filled with the Spirit or be walking with the Spirit, And we may not know. We may not understand. So, Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And I think this is Ephesians chapter 4. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, be filled with the Spirit. How do you know you're filled? Speaking to yourself, yourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So, even when we're working, how many of you go to work or you're working around the house or whatever you're doing, and instead of the radio playing on the inside, you've had a song going on while you're talking or while you're doing your work or whatever, you have in your mind, in your spirit, you have a song going on. Amen? So that's the way when we're working or we're doing things or whatever we're, wherever we are, we can always have a song in our hearts, or a scripture or anything. We can be singing something in our heart and have a melody. I mean, you know some Christian songs, and you know the words to them. Well, start singing them in your heart. Start singing them to yourself. Amen? And it doesn't hurt if you break out every now and then. Somebody may look at you strange, but you may break out and every now and then say, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? You know, or something like that. So that's how we, that's how we're filled. That's how we draw near to God, and that's how we know that we're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, coming back to double-mindedness, I'm going to repeat a couple of things here because we need to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded sometime. Amen. So what we've said so far that is that every Christian has two natures. And a lot of Christians don't know what that means. They don't know when they're first born again and they come to know the Lord. They don't know what's happened to them. But what has happened to them is they are now partakers of the divine nature. They've been born again by the Spirit of God, and that's something no human being can do. We can't do that. Joining the church, keeping the Ten Commandments, or doing all of those things can't get us. We can't birth ourselves into the spiritual realm anymore, into God's family. We can't birth ourselves, I'll put it this way, we cannot birth ourselves into God's family any more than we could birth ourselves into the human family. Are you with me? That's something that God has to do. So our first nature, of course, is the natural nature. We were born of Adam. And as a result of that birth into this world, we've inherited from Adam a human nature. And to those of us that are born again by the Spirit of God, that human nature, the Adamic nature that is in us, is called the flesh. We're in the flesh. And then when we're born again by the Spirit of God, we have a second nature, and that second nature is being born again of the Spirit of God, and we are born not into the human race, but we're born into God's family. You literally, when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are now a member of God's family. You're one of His children. Amen? That's who you are. So, well, I don't feel like it's not, well, it doesn't make any difference how you feel. If you have faith and you believe that God's done a work in your life when you came and asked Him, and the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You've called on the name of the Lord in sincerity. You've repented and you said, Lord, I can't save myself. I need You to save me. Please come into my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I confess Him to be my Lord and Savior with my mouth. At that moment, whenever that was, you were born at that instant into the family of God. God birthed you into His family. Amen? And you received God when you're born again, and that puts within you now the nature of the second Adam, or the last Adam, which is the nature of Christ. And that nature is a spiritual nature. So now you find yourself, it doesn't necessarily, double-mindedness, I need to say this, doesn't mean that you are double-minded. We're only double-minded when we get in the flesh, or we get in the spirit, and we're wishy-washy between walking in the flesh and in the spirit. Are you with me? Only Christians can do that. A lost person can't do that because they hadn't been born again. Amen? But if you've been born again, now you have the nature of Christ in you, which is, we are, as the Bible says in Peter, that we are now partakers of the divine nature. God is our Heavenly Father, not just by word, but God is our Heavenly Father by birth. Can somebody say by birth? Just like you were born into this world and you have a human nature, you were born into God's kingdom, into God's family, and you have a spiritual nature. Amen? And we're going to talk about this because we need to know and we need to understand that whichever nature we allow, everybody say allow, whichever nature we allow to control us, that's the nature that's going to control us. If we live to the flesh, then we fleshly actions, fleshly works, everything, that's something that we're doing. If we yield to the Spirit, there's still something that we're doing, but we're doing it by the Spirit and the power of God. And the Bible says in Philippians, I think it's 3 or 4, 2, whatever word it is, work out your own, and he's speaking to Christians now, because they're saved. So now that you're saved, and I'm going to paraphrase this, put it in my own language so we can understand it. Now that you're saved, put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? That wasn't the scripture that I was exactly going to quote, but that's the one that came out of my mind. So that must be the one that the Lord wanted me to quote. So we have a choice. And in this sense, it does not mean that we're double-minded, but that we have the choice of being double-minded. We can either allow the flesh to control us, our old nature, or the Adamic nature, or we can allow our spirit to control us. And so, the Bible tells us, and we're going to turn, you can go to Romans chapter 8, and we're actually going to read some passages of Scripture in Romans chapter 8 and just kind of study through these, because there's two places, in case I forget to tell you this, I want to say it right now. You might want to write this down. There are two places that this double-mindedness, or this walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, are described for us in the Scriptures. Two places. I mean, two places in length. Now, it may mention this several times in the New Testament, but there's two places where this is discussed pretty much in length, and one of those is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you can read through that, and it'll tell you about walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. The second place that it's found in kind of a detail is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So right now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. You can read that in your Bible, or I think Scott has it and he'll put it up on the screen for us. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say something. How many of you know that there's laws? There's principles. That means there's laws or principles that work. It's like one of the principles that work, and you don't make it work. It either works It's going to work whether you like it or not. If you go jump off of a building, one of the laws of nature, and it is a law, a rule, you're going to go down. You're not going to go up. You're not going to fly. You're always going to go down. That's a law. Amen? Another one is if you eat cabbage, you'll get sick and throw up. No, that's not a law. That might be true for me, but it may not be true for somebody else. But there are some things that you have to discover for yourself, and I'm saying this right now because I want you to understand it, is that there's some things that you may can eat, or you may, and it'll make you nauseated and you feel sick. Amen? There's some things that you can do, and it doesn't bother you at all. There's some other things that you can do, and I'll guarantee you, like, for example, if I go get on a tilter wheel, and if I go to a carnival and get on one of those things that goes around this way, and while it's going around this way, it's going around this way, when I get off of that thing, I'm just as sick as a dog. I might as well go sit down before I'll fall down. And I can't change that. That's just what it does. So one of the reasons that the Lord has these scriptures in here for us is so that we can recognize as individuals, as Christians, we can recognize that we have a dual nature. We can recognize that that's one of the reasons we're Christians, because we have a dual nature. It's not that I'm lost or I'm unsaved. It means, bless God, I'm one of God's children. If I wasn't one of God's children, I wouldn't have God's nature in me, the divine nature. Now, because I've been born again by the Spirit of God, not because of something I've done, but other than repent and come to Him and ask Him, but because of His mercy, He saved us. Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, it's not by works which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So, forget about works. You don't work to be spiritual. We just allow the Holy Spirit that's in us, that allows us to be partakers of the divine nature. We allow Him to work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? And that doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything. We have to understand how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so we can walk in the Spirit and have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and be in the blessing of God. Amen? Otherwise, if we don't know and we don't understand this, at first God has mercy on us. Let me put it this way. Young Christians, new believers in Christ, they don't know, understand what's happened to them. They don't know what's happened to them. And one of the first things that newborn babes in this world have a desire for is they have a desire for their mom's breast, or they have a desire for milk, because as newborn babes, they have to have something. And so when they cry, what do? You stick a bottle in their mouth, and that keeps them happy because they're hungry. Amen? They have a sense that they can't speak to you and say, "Wah, I'm hungry." Right? There's just some things we know naturally, right? So that's, you with me? So that's the way it is with a lot of new Christians. They don't know to go, "Wah, I'm in the flesh. I need to be in the Spirit." They don't even know what flesh and spirit is at that point. But God does put something in them that helps them right quick, and that is He gives them, just like that newborn baby who doesn't know anything, has a desire for milk or something in its stomach. So God, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you can grow thereby. God gives us a desire. It may not be very strong, but it's there. If we've been born again by the Spirit of God, God gives us a desire to get into His Word. Why? That's the milk of the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It doesn't mean you're going to have a great amount of understanding. It just, and you may not understand it at all. Well, I'll illustrate this. I don't think I have to. But a one-year-old or a two-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old sitting in a high chair, and he says, "Hey, Mom, I'd like to have some peanut butter and jelly today. Are you listening? Or, "Hey, Mom, I'm hungry." They can't even talk. You with me? And so as we grow, we have to give ourselves time to grow. But what I'm trying to say to you here, in this early stages of birth, God has prepared His Holy Spirit, His presence, and fellow Christian believers to help you and to assist you in your new development as a babe in Christ. That's why He has the church. And that's why He puts us, when we're born again, it's not long before, or maybe almost immediately, we find ourselves in a church. Because why does God want us there? Because that's where fellow people are, that people that have been born again, that know and have grown, and they're able to help us and to encourage us with our new birth in Christ. Are you with me? That's what the church is for. And if you've been in church for a long time, and as you're growing, then the Lord has you here for a reason also, because there comes a time whenever you grow up, we grow up spiritually, and we begin to know and understand some things because we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And eventually we get into the pablum and into the meat of the Word, amen, and we get halfway mature, where then why God wants us there then is so we can still continue to grow. Because I'll be 85 here before long. And I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So He wants us to be there where we'll be in a place where a pastor and other people can encourage us and feed us and help us along in our spiritual growth. And we can hear messages and sermons and teachings and lessons like this. Unfortunately, there's a lot of places you can go, you don't hear something like this. But that's, you just hear the same thing over and over again. You need to get born again. You need to go on to church, right? You know what I'm talking about? Or you hear some theological terminology, some religious terminology, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. And that's what God's wanting you to know is more theology. He's wanting you to get into the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word and the cereal of the Word, so that we can grow. And then we'll not only grow and be able to understand who we are, but we'll be able to help people understand where they are and help them in their growth process. It's a shame that we have people, and I'm not going to go into this, I need to get into Romans chapter 8, but we have people that have been in the church 20 or 30 years, and they don't know a baby Christian from a mature Christian. They don't know how to help a Christian. They don't even know what to do. Amen. And that's why we need to grow, and that's why we need to get into the Bible. That's the Word of God, especially the New Testament. So, Romans chapter 8. For the law, there's a law and a principle of the Spirit of life. It's a principle, which is in Christ Jesus. And that is the law in Romans 8, and I'm reading from the Amplified, which amplifies the King James Version. It expounds on it a little bit. The law, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, that law, that principle, has freed me. Okay, everybody say freed. You're freed right now. You listening? Because a lot of people need to understand this, because where are they freed from? We're freed from the law of sin and of death. Number one, we're not under the law of death anymore. The principle of death no longer works in us. Does that mean we're not going to physically die? Well, there's a possibility we won't. Jesus may come and we'll be translated in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Amen? But it does mean, because our body and our flesh is the Adamic, then death works in us. And you're going to die as far as the physical part is concerned, but as far as your spirit, which is in you, that's not going to slip out into eternity and go into death or to hell for all eternity. We've been freed when we're born again by the Spirit of Christ. The law of sin and of death, we have been freed from the law of sin and of death. Amen? That's what you need to get that and understand that. Verse 3. For God has done. Everybody say, God did it. That's what that's saying right now. We're free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because God did it. And why did God do it? Because the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, by our human bodies. There's that word, the flesh, which in the Amplified Bible means the entire nature of man, that is the Adamic nature of man, which is without the Holy Spirit. That's the flesh, the nature, our human nature without the Holy Spirit. God sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh, and as for an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh. That means He subdued it, He overcame it, He deprived it of its power over all who accept the sacrifice of God's, and the sacrifice that God is talking about here is the sacrifice of His Son, His death, His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, which freed us from the law, and that means the Ten Commandments, but it also means the principle of death, and has made us alive in Christ. And now, we are now partakers of the divine nature, and now we can walk and no longer have to walk and be controlled by the flesh. We can walk and be controlled by the Spirit, and that's what God wants us to be. Far too many of us as Christians will, if I get there, I don't know if I'll get there this morning or not, but I end up in the flesh. We end up walking in the flesh, and we don't know the difference between being walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. Verse 4. So that the righteousness, or the righteous and just requirement of the law, might be fulfilled or fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Everybody understand that? The righteous requirements of the law, the Ten Commandments. If we walk in the Spirit and do what the Spirit tells us to do, we don't have to worry about keeping those Ten Commandments. And I know people say, well, my Lord, you don't want to say people to keep the Ten Commandments? No, because if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to keep the Ten Commandments. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and of death. That means the Ten Commandments as well as the principles of it and the effects of it. But now you're walking in the divine nature, and so by the Spirit of God, you are now, bless God, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, I believe it is. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, in verse 4 of Romans chapter 8, is everybody with me on this? This is pretty simple. Amen? It's not simple sometimes to do, but it's pretty simple to understand, so we can do it. Amen? But so we move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. The Amplified has in brackets, our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh. That's the way we lived, according to the standards and the dictates of the flesh before we were born again. That's the way we lived. We lived in the flesh. But now, since we've been born again, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have another nature in us that'll enable us and empower us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and enjoy the righteousness and the love and the presence of God and be speaking to ourselves as we go through our day-to-day lives as spiritual beings, be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, those who continue to live according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, what do they do? Now listen. They set their minds on, and they purpose those things which gratify the flesh. You with me? The Bible says, put off the old man, Ephesians chapter 4, I think it is, put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Put it off. This is something that the Bible is asking us to do as we begin to learn how to do this and how to do spiritual warfare. It tells us to put off the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and listen, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, somewhere it says, for though we walk in the flesh, he's speaking to Christians now, didn't say we walk after the flesh, said we walk in the flesh. That means, though we're still living in a physical body. That's what this means. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5 or something. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not battle after the flesh. We do not fight after the flesh. It's not a fleshly battle. It's something we can't do. You with me? Though we're still in a physical body, in a fleshly body, we don't have to walk in the flesh. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, put off the old man, which is corrupt and disordered with deceitful lust, and put on the new man, which from God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So back to 2 Corinthians, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty, everybody say mighty, through God, amen, to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are the strongholds? I'm glad you asked that because it tells you right there in the next few words. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you listening to me? So that's where we may be living in a fleshly body, but we're not warring after a fleshly body. The weapon, if you're fighting against something in the flesh that's pride or lust or greed or selfishness or anger or animosity or bitterness or hate or jealousy or any of those things, those are all a part of the flesh. You with me? When you're in the flesh, those things are going to be there. They're going to be in us and they're going to control us. They're going to be in our mind because we're still human beings. We still have an Adamic nature, which is the old man. But if we're renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which the Holy Spirit will help us to do through the Word of God, then we'll cast down those thoughts. And then the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means we have the mind of Christ. In other words, just like Jesus was, who is the last Adam or the second Adam, however term you want to use that, we now have his mind in us because we've been born again of his divine nature and by his spirit. And so now we can have the thoughts that he thought. Amen? And we can have the mind of Christ. Put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And when we do that, you listening? When we do that, when you do that, as a Christian, and only a Christian can do this, you're not walking in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. Amen? Let's go get a little bit further. This gets, like that one man, it gets gooder and gooder. It gets better. Oh, where was it? Verse 5? For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, and they set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now, the mind of the flesh. And he's going to tell us what this is, so we'll recognize it when we're in it. Which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. It's when we lean on, and one of the first passages of Scripture, as an 18, 19-year-old young man, when I surrendered my life to the ministry, one of the first passages of Scripture that God said, I want you to remember, memorize this and never forget it. I'll tell you the same thing. You want to know what verse it is? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen? Boy. So there were times that I did that. I didn't understand split beans from coffee about the Bible or about any of these things that I'm teaching you about. I've had to learn all of these, and God has been good to teach me all of these things, because it's not that we don't live it. Are you with me? Problem is, we have people trying to teach things they've never lived it. I used to talk about flying all the time. I studied about flying, built model airplanes. I knew about lift. I knew about drag. I knew about speed. I knew about ailerons and rudders and all of that stuff and the joystick and all of those things, instruments. And I thought when I was 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, brother, I knew so much and I'd read so much about flying that unless God, if I ever got in a plane, I could fly that thing. Well, many years went by, and I finally had the opportunity to get my private pilot's license. So I went out there and got in a plane. My knowledge didn't do me any good at all. I was sure glad I had an instructor in there, because he knew what he was doing. I knew all about what to do, but I didn't know how to do it. And that's the problem, exactly what's wrong with the church today. We have a lot of Christians that don't know. They know a lot of things, but they have not applied them in their lives, so, and they haven't been in the place where they're trying to, where they experience them, because when you experience something, now you're talking from assurance, because you've been there and you've done that, and you can't fool anybody that's already been there and done that, because you try to fool them, they'll automatically know that you don't know what you're talking about because you haven't been there and done that. Amen? And that's why God wants us to be there and do that, if I can put it that way. We need to walk in it. We need to live it. Because when we walk in it and live it, it becomes a reality to us. Verse 6, I think that's where I am. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. When you're getting the flesh and you're walking in flesh, you're dead. You're walking in death. You're walking in the old man because he's dead. You say, well, what do you mean? He's still alive. No, God says in His Word that those of us that are in Christ, we have been crucified with Christ. Does that mean dead, crucified? Amen. We've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not I, Paul says, but Galatians 2:20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But we're now the mind of the flesh, and he lists those things, death, that compromises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life. Everybody say life. That's the life of Christ, the life of God. Soul peace, that's the peace of God that passes understanding, both now and forever, it says. Amen? How many of you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Amen? Praise God. Verse 7, that is because the mind of the flesh, verse 7 of Romans chapter 8, the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. If you're walking in the flesh, you're hostile to God. For the mind of the flesh, for it does not, what? The mind of the flesh does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. The flesh cannot and will not submit itself to the life of God. Can't, because it's dead. So then, verse 8, those who are living the life of the flesh, that is, how they live in their lives, and this Amplified explains it, they're catering to their appetites and to the impulses of their carnal nature, or the old man, or the flesh. They're catering to those. They spend all their time trying to satisfy their appetites and the impulses of their carnal nature. That's why living in the flesh cannot please God. It cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Now, I'm reading you the Word of God. Are you with me? But, He wants you to know, but, as a Christian, now listen, boy, you need to get this. I'm going to be just a few more minutes, all right? I'm coming to the, you need this part right now. Amen? I want you to understand this. What we're about to read. But you are not living in the life of the flesh. You listening to me? As a Christian, you're not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if so be the Holy Spirit of God really dwells with you, within you, directs and controls you. So God wants you to know, as a Christian, whatever your growth stage is, you may be, I don't know how long you're a Christian. Some people have been a Christian 25 or 30 years and are still about 2 or 3 years old spiritually. Are you with me? That's a fact, because they've never grown. And we all need to grow, the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? That we're to put off and to put on. And in 1 Peter, we've got this on the sign outside. Put on virtue and righteousness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, and all of these. These are things that we have to put on through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to understand, since man is a tripart being, but don't let that throw you. Let's go on. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ, and he's not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, let me tell you something. You need to get this. As far as God is concerned, those of us that are Christians, our old man is dead. You with me? That means in our spirit, we've been created as new creations, and God only sees the new creation. He doesn't see the old man. We're dead. We've been crucified with Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. And now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the way God sees me. So that's why the Bible says, but we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the way God sees us. Now, let me say this, because this people get, oh man, I could spend a lot of time on this subject, amen? But see, people still see us in the flesh, and when we do wrong as Christians, boy, they're the first really to You mean you're a Christian and you do that? You smoke cigarettes? You drink a beer? They don't even know what sin is. Amen? But they judge us on the basis of their own stupidity. Amen? God sees us as new creations in Christ Jesus. We are the children of God. He doesn't even see us in the flesh anymore. We're His child. How many of you can get unborn? Anybody? Can you go back? And that's what when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, I can't go back and get in my mother's womb and be born again. What in the world are you talking about? He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. God, help us to get this and understand this. So, what does it mean when we walk in the flesh then and we're not controlled by the Spirit? Have we lost our salvation? No. I don't know which verse I am on now. Chapter 5, verse 26. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited and competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. That's what religion does. Somebody didn't hear me. That's what religion does. Christianity doesn't do that. Christianity says we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And like God, who loves everybody, and His Son died for the sins of the whole world, and He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We love everybody, including our enemies. You say, well, I don't know, where am I going to love me? Walk in the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of Christ and you have the nature of God and you're a partaker of the divine nature, then you can love your enemies with the love of God. That doesn't mean you might like them and might not want to be around them and all that other kind of stuff, but it does mean you're concerned for their souls and you love them, and if you can get you can do anything to help them to get them to the Lord, you'll do it. Isn't this simple? Not as complex and complicated as you may think until sometimes you start doing it and you try to do it in the ability of the flesh, and then it really becomes, you can't do this in the flesh. Well, we'll have to save Galatians chapter 5 for next time. But I'm going to read you one last passage of Scripture. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm first going to tell you what this is talking about here, because it's talking about our bodily resurrection. It's talking about one day, if we die before Jesus Christ comes, and my wife, my grandson, my relatives, my mom and dad — I was in Killeen, Texas, where I was born, and went by my mom and dad's grave. Their bodies are still there. If we open up that grave, there'd be a casket there, and there'd be a body in it. And their bodies are still there. Their spirits are with God because they're Christians. So this is speaking about here, that one of these days when Jesus comes back, of all of those who there's going to be a bodily resurrection. Those bodies are going to come out of those graves. Amen? You can't see a spirit. Anybody seen a spirit? If you did, you would know whether you did or not. We're going to be reunited, but I want to tell you something. This also applies, this passage of Scripture, while it's talking about the natural body, it also refers to who we are in Christ as being new creations, because we've been crucified with Christ and we have been resurrected with Him. Isn't that what the Bible said? All right, now listen to this. So also is the resurrection of the dead, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. The old man, was flesh. It's now called, was sown in corruption, but the new man is now raised in incorruption. We're now incorruptible. You listening? It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. Can somebody say amen? It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 44. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. You with me? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, the natural man that we have from Adam. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. He's earthly. He's fleshly. He's carnal. He's in the flesh. The second man is the Lord from heaven. We've been born again. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So it's not flesh and blood. It's that when God saves us and we're born again and when we're resurrected, it's not flesh and blood, but it's a new spiritual body in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, that's who we are. We need to go live it. Amen? Let's everybody stand. Now, if for any reason the Spirit of God has spoken to you this morning and you need to come to this altar, maybe make a commitment, surrender completely to the Lord, or pray for somebody, or you just feel like the Spirit of God wants you to come to this altar for any reason, why don't you slip out and come right now and join together with us in this closing prayer. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Anybody, anywhere, come on. If you're here this morning, you want to become a member of this church, you haven't joined this church, you'd like to become a member of this church, you want to come forward and say, I feel like the Lord wants us to be here in this church, then we'll receive you as a member if you want to come. Anybody, anywhere. If you're here this morning, you have someone that's sick or needs prayer, family member, whatever, and you have the enemy's fighting a battle with you and you've been worried and have a lot of doubts and fears and worries and things that have been on your mind, the enemy's trying to pull you down and rob you of your peace and your joy, it's your salvation. Come, we'll pray for you and rebuke that and bind that away from you in Jesus' name. Anybody, anywhere, for any reason. Okay? All right. Father, we want to thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the patience of all the people who have been here and are here. Lord, we thank you for giving us understanding. Lord, and may we not forget what you've taught us and what you're teaching us. May we learn how to walk in the Spirit and follow your leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Father, may we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, and have the fullness of the joy of your salvation. And may your Holy Spirit that dwells in us quicken our mortal bodies. Amen. And give life to our mortal bodies. And we speak to bodies that are with hearts and lungs and kidneys and livers and all kinds of things. If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead, Romans 8 says, if the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in your physical bodies, he will also quicken your physical bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. We claim that for you right now in Jesus' name. You're not dead, you're alive. Praise God, he's quickened your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. And you're well and you're healed and you're whole in Jesus' name. You say, well, what if I want to die? You don't have to go through a bunch of sickness and cancer and diseases and all that. Just go to sleep and lay down and die and go home. Who told you you have to go to the hospital and suffer all these crazy things and stupid things? And then, amen? You don't have to do that. God told Moses, come on, I'm going to take you home. Won't you walk up on this mountain? He climbed to the top of a mountain. God took him home. Amen? Don't know where he's buried. He may not even be buried. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Do we believe God? Amen. We trust him. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Take care.